start with the roll call.
The MNAA General Aviation Operations Planning and Engineering Committee meeting will be held in accordance with Executive Order Number 16, signed by Governor Bill Lee on March 20th, 2020, as amended by Executive Order Number 34, signed by Governor Bill Lee on May 6th, 2020, allowing a governing body to hold meetings by electronic or other means of communication without a quorum being physically present if the governing body determines that meeting by electronic means is necessary to prevent the spread of COVID-19 or other related epidemics to protect the health, safety, and welfare of the public and members of the governing body. All votes taken during this meeting will be by roll call vote, and I'll now call attendance. Committee Chair Freeman.
Here.
Committee Vice Chair Sullivan.
Here.
And Commissioner Farnsworth.
She's here.
Okay.
I'm here.
That's great, there she is. Good.
Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Awesome, thank you.
Okay, approval of minutes?
No.
Don't have any, all righty. Sheriff's report, we're gonna talk today a little bit about a number of things, but I'm excited to begin this discussion about what we're gonna do at John Toon. Over the next several months, we're gonna be talking about what we envision there, what the new hangars will look like, what the new facility will look like, what amenities we'll have for our customers there, whether that's, we were just talking about food service, restaurant, whether, who knows what we will end up with there, but we've got an opportunity to revisit all of that, and we're gonna discuss all of that in the coming months. So thank you all for being here. Doug, do you have anything to say to add to that, or anything?
No, my understanding is that Jeff Roach and John Corbett have had some good dialogue with Aeroplex to this point. We do have some good set of slides that we want to run through with commissioners to talk a little bit about what Aeroplex has already evaluated, and then maybe a timeline for them to come back to us. We envision over the next couple of months to have another couple of opportunities to discuss this with commissioners, but we'll turn it over to them and go forward as no items for approval, so this is just for information. And then I had already spoken with Chair Freeman about this, as depending on what happens here, we do have a GOPE scheduled for next week, and if there's any homework that I need to do or anything that we need to look at, we'll refresh next week. But we'll wait and see how this meeting goes and determine what comes next. So I'll turn it over to Jeff, and we'll start with the presentation.
Thank you. Good afternoon, and thank you for affording us the opportunity to present information and gather your input on the redevelopment planning effort that we're kicking off for John C. Toon Airport. Joining me today is John Corbett, AVP for Real Estate Development, and our consultant team with Aeroplex Group Partners will be online and discussing most of the presentation, or presenting most of the presentation. During the presentation today, you'll hear the term scope used. Scope refers to the phases of this planning effort in this case. We're going to focus on Scope 1 and Scope 2, the discovery phase, and the plan for redevelopment of the tornado-damaged area. There may be tornado-related activities completed in the follow-on scopes, Scope 3 through 5. Each scope has tasks and deliverables that Aeroplex will complete during the planning process, and Aeroplex will talk about those in detail today during their portion of the presentation. If you have any input or questions about items that are outside the current scopes of the planning effort we're currently undertaking, I will capture them here on the parking lot. The parking lot is used to record information, and I'll keep that so we have that information as a resource for future planning efforts. I'll now turn the presentation over to Kurt Castagna with Aeroplex.
Good afternoon. Can everyone hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Thank you. Just a pleasure to be here with you all today. Look forward to the opportunity in the future to do so in person. Aeroplex, on behalf behalf of our team, we're really excited about this opportunity to work with you. And while we understand it's, you know, related to the weather-related event that caused some destruction, we see this project as an opportunity for the airport moving forward to provide enhancements. So as Jeff just reviewed in his presentation, we've got about 5 scopes of work that we've been working with your team on, and we're glad to be sharing that with the workshop today. And we'll go over the work we've done in scope 1 and what we plan to do in scope 2 for the tornado impacted facilities. And then we can review the other scopes of work. And certainly we want this to be an interactive discussion with you, because we certainly want you to be engaged and involved in this, since it's something that we know that you're all very proud of, and we think this airport's a tremendous asset to your system. I just want to quickly, our team, Aeroplex Group Partners, it's the consulting arm of the Aeroplex Aerolease Group. Our background is 40 years in airport development. We have ourselves about 1 million square feet of space that we've developed in different areas in the country, lots of it in California. One thing that I think makes us really unique and the ability to help you is that we come in the perspective of both the tenant and as a consultant to you, the airport. So about in 2015, we put this team together to really take 40 years of development and private experience and join hands with public sector folks that work with airports to be able to share a public-private experience in many areas, whether it be airport development, leasing, project management, airport policies, rules, and regs in various areas. And I know you've seen our statement of qualifications, and you've seen the diversity of some of the work that we are doing. We also have a very long view of the current situation we're in relative to COVID. We have our own projects underway in other parts of the country that just within the last few weeks we've broken ground on. And so we think that the timing here to work with you on these scopes is really the right time. So that's a little bit about our team. Happy to answer any specific questions on that. Us on the specific team, just quick introductions, is Justin Castagna, the project manager, and I'll just, Justin, just a couple of snippets on your background, please.
Sure, thank you, nice to meet all of you. I had a pleasure to be working on this project. My background is actually education and business. I've worked at 4 to 5 different airports doing airport operations and management, and have now been with Aeroplex for almost 6 years, and have managed projects ranging from large-scale hangar development projects up to 50,000 square foot hangars all the way to tenant improvement repairs and et cetera. So as Kurt had stated in the past, a well-rounded experience. I'm also a private pilot, so I'd like to be able to say that I understand the points of view of the users, the airport, and the private interest at the airport.
Also joining us with a very significant planning background, Steve Domino and Stephen Derengoski, and you guys could maybe just give a quick snippet of some background.
Okay, I've been in the industry for 42 years. I worked at the Salt Lake City International Airport for 30 years, where I left as the director of planning for the airport. We managed 3 airports, Salt Lake International, which is a large enough airport, and then 2 small general aviation reliever airports, similar in size to Yonsei 2. So I've got a diverse background in both large commercial airports and GA. My experience has primarily been in implementing projects. So as a planning director, developing a capital improvement program, working with the various divisions of an airport, and then coming up with the strategy, plans, and then actually implementing the facilities. One of the highlights in my career was building a brand new airport in St. George, Utah, which they needed a replacement airport, and so I brought that project as program manager from the planning phase all the way through the design and then construction and commissioning. And I guess that's good enough.
Hi, I'm the other Steven, Steven Darangowski. So I have about 6 years of aviation-related experience, four of which is facility planning, working on master plans, capital improvement programs, project schedules, implementation schedules, and then also too with kind of airfield and airspace efficiencies. I recently just attended the course in Oklahoma City with FAA on the TERPS introduction course, looking at flight procedures, looking at how to optimize airspace to be as most efficient for the NAS and then also too for the users themselves too. Before I got into facility planning, I worked at a large reliever airport in the Denver metro area, where I worked airport ops and did a little bit of snow removal, planning services, and also to aircraft rescue and firefighting. In my spare time, I am trying to get my private pilot's license, so I'm a student pilot right now, which is very unique that I'm able to look at different challenges through three different lenses, through operational, piloting, and then facility planning standpoint, to try to get a comprehensive solution. So that's it for me.
Thank you. We have some other members of our staff that aren't on the call. One of our key members there noted on the slide, J.R. Miller and Associates, architectural firm that we've worked with extensively and are working with today on a variety of projects. Some research on them will show they have a large background in aviation development, design, and engineering, from T-hangers to large hangars all around the country. We recently broke ground on a brand new project in Dallas, and they're our architect. I don't seem to be able to control the slide, so I'm wondering if maybe somebody could walk me through this, being able to manage the slide, and we can advance. So we've given you some history, and the pictures that you see there are a couple of our developments, one of which has about 40 different various sized T-hangers intermixed with some corporate hangers. We just reflect that because we understand the diversity of what we're trying to accomplish in these various scopes and the enhancements that you want to bring. So I think our team is well keyed to do that. And so I think we can jump to the next slide. And again, I'll think I'm going to turn this over now to Steve Domino to walk through the scopes and where we are.
Okay, so as we've mentioned, we're working right now on scope one, which is the discovery phase of the project. Scope two is to look at and develop a redevelopment plan for specifically the tornado impacted facilities. And that's the scope that we'll be moving to next. Scope four, after we develop a plan for the immediate need for the tornado impacted facilities, we'll look at the opportunity of going into scope four, which will then look at meeting your needs for the future needs in the undeveloped areas that are available, vacant, and developing a plan for you to best utilize the property that you have. Scopes three and four are related to the tornado recovery, but they're on-call services that are optional as might be requested by your authority and airport staff. And then we will also be able to provide additional future project services and updates as you might require.
Justin, do you want to add anything to that?
No, I think that Steve covered it pretty well. I would just add that, just to echo what Steve mentioned about scopes three and five, those are on call on an as-needed basis, and at this time are not planned, but we'll be working with the staff on those. Scope four, which is the future scope that we'll be talking about, is for, how those vacant and undeveloped lands relate to the tornado impacted areas, and it was very important to us to understand the staff's and obviously before our team's vision for the entire airport, so that when we make recommendations to you, they jive together We were making those recommendations, seeing the whole future of the airport and not just one area.
Okay, so item 15.
Okay, I'll review the tasks that we've completed to date. The first initial task is very important, which is getting an understanding of what the airfield looks like, decisions that have been made in the past, what the future is projected, and to do that, we obtain a number of base files from the airport staff, including the airport layout plan, the master plan. There's a number of CAD files that we need to develop base drawings. And then we also need to understand what the forecast is, what the master plan said, and most recently in 2007, I believe, that is the date of your master plan, but you have a recent forecast. And so we looked at the recent forecast to understand how it might affect the future needs at the airport. One of the other things we needed is to understand all of the tenants that you have at the airport, especially the displaced tenants. And then in addition to that, we want to understand who's interested in getting hangars at the airport. And so we want to look at who's on the hangar waiting list, and we'll include all of these lists in developing a survey as we move forward to try to determine what the and validate what the forecast is and what your immediate needs are, and then what your near-term future needs would be. So we've reviewed these documents. I will admit that we are still in the process of reviewing the master plan. We received that the most recently, and it's a longer document, but that sets forth the background for really understanding some of the decisions that have been made in the past. And with that understanding, it will help perhaps influence or guide some of our thoughts, and perhaps we will be making recommendations that might be different from that. New ideas, a new, fresh set of eyes.
And Steve, Doug Krulin here, President and CEO, and Kurt, if I could just make a comment there too, and for the commissioners, Steve was just saying the documents that he's going through, and he mentioned that the master plan was dated in 2007, and then we've done that large runway improvement, you know, by going to 6,000 feet. Robert's team updated, you know, the ALP, the layout plan for the airport in 2018. But as we go through this, and Aeroplex will run us through, there's like different chunks of the property where we may decide to do different things. So we may, you know, rebuild this area that's tornado damaged. We may go ahead and turn some of this over to a private developer. We may say we need to get do a full, you know, in-depth master plan down the road to chart this 20-year future that we've all been talking about. So as we start looking at that, we'll start being able to see stuff over the next few weeks and months to try to make those decisions. But they're doing a good job of getting into the documents, and we'll help them as we try to decide what do we want to take on and or what do we want to farm out and go from there. So I just wanted to throw that in as it seemed like a logical place to jump that in right now.
And Doug, if I could add to that, this is Bill Freeman, the committee chair. We've all had a lot of feedback and input and questions about when we'll have these hangars rebuilt and you know, when the airport will be operational. And what this disaster has given us is an opportunity to rethink what that airport is going to look like over the next 20 or 30 years. Our goal is not necessarily to just rebuild exactly what was there, and that be the new John Toon Airport. We want to take a blank sheet of paper and look at all the possibilities of what we could do with that space, what types of hangars, what other amenities. We've talked about some today, restaurants and other commercial users that would appeal to our customers at the airport, and not be driven by what we had, but be driven by what we envision and want in this new airport. So I just wanted to mention that to you at the very early stages of this.
So, and thank you for that. This is Kirk Castagna. Thank you for that. I think what you'll find as we go through this is we really understand that opportunity and where I think we're going to be very helpful to you is should you go out and you look for third-party investment money and things, that using some of our background ourselves and doing that, sharing that with you to help you make those decisions and understand the business models that you might be considering. And so as we get into those future phases, I think you'll see that we'll be able to dial in some refinement there. So, Steve, back to you.
Okay. So one of the keys is to develop a base file of the existing conditions. We've already started that. You'll see that in some of the upcoming slides. One of the best things we did was we held a kickoff meeting with the airport staff, and they helped us understand what the limitations would be and what opportunities there are going to be. And they actually mentioned, you know, the bringing in perhaps a new vision or deciding with the board and the staff what's best for the airport. One of the biggest things that we came back with is there are some limitations regarding funding. That's going to be limited by the amount that FEMA might be able to contribute, as well as the amount that your insurance is going to contribute. And we just set that as a background in one of the limitations that we'll be considering as we develop concepts.
And Steve, let me add into on that one. So as commissioners are aware, you know, you all help set the strategic direction of where we're going, and then our job is to figure out how to do that. And so, you know, there are going to be insurance proceeds, and there is going to be hopefully some FEMA help, and there's other opportunities, whether we do private development or not. We had a couple days ago where we did that insurance review. I think it was 2 days ago. Probably the best one we've had so far, but it's not as big of a home run as everybody thinks it is when you start looking at when they depreciate stuff and all that. So there is going to be a pool of money, but to the chair's comments about where's the future of the airport, that's really where we have to sort of think about it. Once we know what we want, we'll have to figure out how do we financially pull that off, whether we borrow money or do some other things there. So there are limitations, but the board already makes big decisions with regards to money and how do we do that. So we're not going to restrict ourselves by only building the $4 hangar that we can afford. There might be an $8 version that we want. So we'll keep that in mind.
And Chris, one thing that I read this morning, and we all have seen these reports, but read an article in a trade publication this morning that talked about fixed rate 30-year mortgages being under 3% for the first time ever. And you could get 5-year, 10-year, 50. This is a fixed rate 30-year mortgage in the 8 or 9%. And I say that doesn't affect us, but I say that just to point out that the financial climate, bond rates, what we can take into the market, may be, and we've had this discussion before, the lowest in history. Right now, today, maybe the lowest in history they've ever been. So if there was a time to look at borrowing some more money or selling some more bonds or doing something that would allow us the ability and the flexibility to make this into a world-class general aviation airport, not just a rebuilding of what was there, but how we would re-envision this new John Toon Airport. And none of us want to borrow any more money. We've certainly got, you know, $1.6 or $1.7 billion or whatever that number is.
That's a little bit.
Yeah, it's a big number. But the improvements we would make at John Toon are a rounding error on that debt. And the market's gotten better over the last few months in this year. So all of that factors into what we may or may not be able to afford, what we may or may not be able to do at John Toon. So I'd love to get everything on the table, and let's look it up. We may not be able to afford half of it, but let's look at all of the opportunities that this disaster has created for us and try to come out with a plan that you know is a win-win-win for John Toon and for our customers and for the city.
And Kurt and Steve, I don't mean to interrupt. This is Doug again speaking, but I wanted you to be able to hear that discussion, and you'll hear more from our commissioners both online and in the room. So there's always limitations, but we don't want, you know, finances to hold us back. We want to see what the opportunity is out there.
Absolutely understand, Doug. Thank you. I think you do have an opportunity, and we know that prior to the tornado that, you know, there was considerations for the needs and evolution of John C. Toon to begin with. So, you know, we're aware of that. We realize we do see down the road that there are opportunities there that we'll be able to give you some creative ideas.
Thank you.
Yeah, one of the highlights and things that I've learned in my career is I like to understand what the ultimate vision is for an airport, so that incremental steps and actions that airports take are always one step closer to that ultimate vision. So with that in mind, as we met with airport staff, we came back with a great understanding of a number of issues. The highest priority is to get replacement facilities back up and running, getting the airport generating revenues again, making your tenants happy again, giving them a home. So that is the number one priority, and we're going to focus on the plans to replace the tornado impacted facilities. One of the other things that we understand is that you want to take advantage and maximize the use of all of the property that you have available. And so this is what leads into the possibility of coming up with different ideas from what existed prior to the tornado. With that in mind, we understand that there's a set lease boundary for the FBO, and initially that lease boundary may need to be held constant. However, we recognize that there's an opportunity that as we develop ideas and concepts, that there may be an opportunity to change that boundary if we can come up with a layout that is more efficient and perhaps could generate more revenue for the airport. We also understand that the trend in Nashville is for more large corporate aircraft and hangars, and I'll say that this is consistent with the national trends across the country. Smaller aircraft and pilots are fewer and fewer every year, and the market is transitioning to large corporate activity. We've recognized, as we've evaluated your airport layout plan, that you have some limitations regarding the terrain and grades. And so those are going to limit the opportunities and alternatives that we might look at. There are some opportunities to mitigate those grades and terrain. You might be able to import additional fill and add embankment, but the problem might be is that that could raise the cost of that particular plan or idea. So we just understand that those are going to be some limitations. We need to make sure that we meet FAA design criteria in the advisory circuit. Generally, our concepts for the immediate replacement facilities and for the short-term future facilities is going to focus on the east side. There's a number of reasons for that. First of all, the property on the east side of the airport is readily accessible. You have infrastructure there. We believe, based on looking at the initial forecast, that there's probably enough area there to meet both your replacement needs as well as that short-term future needs. Problems on the west side is that it lacks infrastructure, it lacks access, and so opportunities to develop that area more realistically are probably long-term rather than meeting some of this shorter-term demand. We also know that you just completed a tower siting study, and the location proposed for that is different from what's shown on the airport layout plan. Airport layout plan showed it on the west side of the airport, and now it's proposed for the east side of the airport. We also know that there's a number of notice of agreement sites that we will not include in our evaluation. Those are moving forward, I believe, with the airport staff, and so they're not going to be included in our analysis. And again, I want to say, as we develop each of these plans, and we develop cost estimates, we're also going to be understanding how the FEMA and insurance limitations might help each of these costs. So again, something in the back of our minds all the time.
Hey, Steve, this is Jimmy Gregory. I'm one of the commissioners. I'm on the Zoom. I thought Commissioner Freeman was pretty clear about don't leave anything off the table and we'll evaluate the cost. So why would you leave the potential of the west side off the table? We know what the road would cost, and it's such a big area. And then these sites that you're going to leave out, Doug, are we moving forward with any of the RFPs or proposals on the available land? I thought we were taking everything off the table and include everything in the study.
We are. That was you're quicker at the draw than I am, Commissioner Granberry. I was going to make two comments related to Steve's. The NOA that you see, the second to the bottom bullet there, is notice of availability. So, and when we get to the very last slide, this is a big version of it here for those in the room. All of those other than the west side are out on the street, and we're sort of holding those, but they are part of this. And so we either decide to use the firms that have already responded to that, or if we take a different point, then we got to go from there. But we're ready, and maybe we do one of these sites and let Aeroplex tell us what they want to do with two, because we could have, and we'll talk about it when we get to the end, but those sites, Commissioner Granberry, are in play to, and your comments on the west side is in play. I would say where Steve was going was that east side's the easier side to get to right now, but if we need to move to the west side to do something spectacular or correct, then we're going to look at that. The other one that I should have mentioned. Go ahead, sir.
Commissioner Johnson might chime in. Are they aware of the interest from the police department to move their potential helicopter facility to John Toon? And then I'll let the chairman respond, but I think to start cherry picking out sites at this point in time, if you don't have a master plan, would be a big mistake.
No, we do have a master plan, and we were putting that on the street to put those parcels out there. If we're going to make a significant change to the master plan, that's what we're going to decide over the next few weeks as we go forward. They're not aware that the Nashville Police Department is a possible future tenant out there, but they would only put the hangar in one of the places that we already put out there as possibly available to a developer. So whether they negotiate with us or with the developer, it's we almost have a, if they had the money, assuming the city has the money to pay for what they want, then, you know, there's maybe a client that's already out there. So that's part of that informational share in there. Commissioner Granberry, we'll get to the Aeroplex.
Just FYI, my review of the budget that's on the table right now from the mayor, there's a pretty substantial dollar amount in there for new helicopters for the police department. So
yeah,
they'll need a good home for them.
Okay,
yeah.
That's good.
And let me just add, Steve, if I could, you made a comment about the terrain on that site, and that's one of the flattest sites in Middle Tennessee. You know, we're in an area that has a lot of hills and a lot of terrain, and that site is really it's a remarkably flat piece of property for Middle Tennessee. We may need some fill, may need some, you know, do some work on it, but that's a very developable tract of land in our area.
Okay. This is Commissioner Crumbo. If I can interject from our Metro Boundary, we are 100% interested in bringing the helicopter team to John Toon for all the obvious reasons that you might expect. So Commissioner Greenberg is exactly right in that. We have a sizable capital spending plan that's been set aside for those helicopters. There's some controversy this week about law enforcement, some of you may have seen in the media, but hopefully that's going to be resolved here in the next couple of weeks as we wrap up this budget process. But I actually spoke with the mayor about this morning. Right, and we wanted to make sure that we were accounting for helicopters and for some other public safety needs that we may have in the long term. And also wanted me to emphasize the importance of doing a master plan, not just for the airport, but coordinating with the city's planning department for other development that we expect to have in and around 10. So I think all those are good positive messages and things for us to keep in mind here.
Yeah, Commissioner Crumbo, Doug Krulin, thank you very much. That's helpful to have that insight, the same way from Commissioner Granberry on the budget. Both of you all, that's great insight, and I know it's easy for us to work with Aeroplex to talk about we may already have a hangar development that we could work out with the city for that area. Before we move on, I did want to address the last bullet again on insurance. I should have said it earlier, but in our review, we did a top-to-bottom review of our insurance program. We're not perfect. We're getting better than we were, obviously, many years ago. And I think over the next couple of years, we'll really get it squared away. But I did have some good feedback from the chair and other business leaders, Commissioner Granberry, Commissioner Smith, on insurance. And so that's what really created this top-to-bottom review of this. And so one of those policies that we were discussing and reviewing, and we had our brokerage firm on there, Willis Towers Watson, I believe, was business interruption. And so that was some good feedback that we had, because what we will need to do out of this group is we're 90 days into this from the tornado, from March 3rd to June 4th today, and we'll need to give our insurance company a plan for development. And let's say it takes us 3 to 4 months to decide what we want and then go into an RFP and then get into the construction. We will have to give them a realistic schedule, because they will only pay us for business interruption for whatever we can convince them to. So some of this we want to get going on, you know, but we're going to be developing tune over the next multiple years here as we go forward. But we will be able to collect business interruption for 18, 24 months, but we're going to, 24, they're like looking at me like I'm crazy.
18.
But we're going to have to show them a schedule. This is how serious we are building new facilities with the insurance money we have available. What we build was probably going to be different than what was destroyed. So that's just something for us to do. There is a sense of urgency so we can get our insurance money and get some stuff going, because they'll quit paying us interruption insurance at some point.
Steve, this is Bobby Jocelyn here. I'm talking about moving everything around. Currently where the FBO is, at least Boundary, where there was two big hangars, 1, 2, and 3. Consideration is relocating that FBO down to the south side, where you come up the hill, where you got about 6 acres of land, if I'm not mistaken, right in there, and just relocating their whole footprint. And I think if everything's on the table, I think that should be on the table as well. Because that FBO is 30 years old, 35 years old, and it's not, doesn't really meet today's requirements of a good first-class FBO.
Mr. Chair, or Doug, if I may, this is Kurt Castagne. I think this input is really helpful to us, and it's the type of interactive feedback we were really looking for, so I'm grateful for that. So thanks for the clarity. We've heard loud and clear, too, that the FEMA money provides you a base. It's not the cap. And as we look at all the various options, we're not going to be restricted on that. It's going to require some creativity, obviously, for what the delta would be to get you to where you want to go, but we're not letting that limit us. And the only other thing I'd like to say on this slide relative to Steve's comments are, you know, relative to the future and the forecast, we know that there's been growth out there for the larger corporate aircraft. But at the same time, our philosophy always as an airport like TUN is to maintain the health and diversity of the entire airport. We want to make sure that your FBO is designed and healthy for all sorts of different uses, that the private storage hangars are healthy and that they feel like they have long-term security, and that you as the airport sponsor have diversity in your tenant base from a cash flow perspective. So we want to see a healthy airport in the range of general aviation.
not just in the high-end corporate end too.
Okay, thank
hey,
you.
Doug. Doug, it's Jimmy. One quick, I sent you the 11 acres right by the AWOS that is available to purchase. It might be a part of the master plan, and it's somewhat encumbered because of the radius required for the AWOS and limits what can be built on that property. If you shared that with the Aeroplex team?
No, I've talked about it just briefly with Robert, and I need to share it with Margaret and John Corbett so we can take a look at that, and also with Aeroplex that there's a parcel of land that's connected to the Toon current property boundary that may be available if we wanted to purchase it. So we're definitely going to include that in there, Commissioner Granberry.
Okay, thanks. I just kind of forgot about it.
You bet.
Okay. Well, this discussion is very helpful. As we're all aware, the mantra in real estate is location, location, location. And what I've learned in the aviation industry, the mantra is flexibility, flexibility, flexibility. And as we plan, we need to be flexible and adaptable to meet whatever we're asking to do. So thank you. Next slide. So regarding stakeholder engagement, our key responsibility is going to be to the airport board, the General Aviation Committee, and so we will receive the direction from you through the airport staff. And when we talk about engaging airport staff, I've learned that you can't just talk to the planning department. You need to engage numerous divisions in order to get to build consensus and get buy-in from the entire airport staff. So this includes the engineers. We need to make the engineers happy. If we're proposing something that they think is not constructible, then we're going to run into a problem. So we need to make sure that they're engaged in the project and aware of our plans. Properties will be engaged. They have responsibility for negotiating the ultimate leases with your tenants. And so we need to make sure that our plans are going to work for them as well. As we mentioned before, risk management is important because of their requirement that they need to meet in terms of the funding that's going to be available from FEMA and insurance and otherwise. One of the keys I've learned is that the airport has to operate well for the users, and it's the operations division that is responsible for coordinating on a day-to-day basis with the users and making them happy. So they're going to be a key in terms of providing us some of the inputs and feedback of what's worked in the past, what didn't work well, and maybe try to fix some things. And then at the end of the day, what I've learned is that maintenance plays a critical role. They're the ones that ultimately have to maintain these facilities. The orientation of these hangars might affect how they hold up. You get freezing rain as well as some snow, and while users on the west side of a hangar might benefit from afternoon sun, it may present problems for, you know, hangar doors that might be on the east side. So we like to engage maintenance to make sure that they're aware of our plans as well. Key to this is going to be the FBO. We've already talked about the potential of locating them either where they exist today in their current lease boundary, or looking at, as the commissioner mentioned, perhaps to the south, perhaps to the north. We don't know, but we're open to that, and we're going to be looking at those opportunities. Clearly, we're going to be engaging our displaced tenants. The key here is we need to confirm what their intentions are in terms of entering into leases for the future. Some of these tenants, of your displaced tenants, may think this is a great opportunity to retire, take their insurance money and you know, just watch aircraft instead of fly them. Others may decide that it's a great opportunity to upgauge their aircraft from single engine to perhaps twin engine or even a jet. So we need the type of information from the displaced tenants that is going to help guide us in terms of establishing what the facility requirements will be. That's going to include the type of hangar they want, whether they want a T hangar, a box hangar, what the size of those hangars might need to be. Someone may have a small aircraft, but they want a larger hangar for one reason or another. And so we will be coordinating with your tenants. In addition, we want to coordinate with your existing tenants to understand what concerns and issues they have. As we develop plans, we want to make sure that they think that the plans we come up with aren't going to create obstacles or hinder their operating abilities in any way. And in fact, some of your existing hangars or tenants may want to relocate into a new hangar, upsize into a hangar. We don't know that unless we talk to them. Again, as we look at opportunities here, one of your opportunities is to begin chipping away at this hangar waiting list that you have. So we want to include in our survey that those individuals on the hangar waiting list. We recognize there's going to be limitations in how much money you have. You're likely not going to be able to build enough hangars to house everyone that's on that hangar waiting list, but at least we want to know what that real immediate demand is going to be. And then we know there's going to be others. We've already heard today the police department may have a need for a helicopter facility. And at this point, I'd like to ask the commissioners if there are other tenants or stakeholders that we may have overlooked at this point and that we should consider.
Steve, while this is Doug Krulin speaking, I'm not a commissioner, but while they're thinking of your question, you know, one thing, you know, we're talking about mix as well. John Toon, before we had a 6,000-foot runway and two full RSAs, was all small wing Cessnas and those kind of things. And now that we have a 6,000-foot runway with two RSAs, you know, we're getting heavy metal out there. So while we talk to the displaced tenants out there, there is a bigger group of clients that will probably come in there if we develop it correctly so that they have a place to store their planes at night. And so the mix, the displaced tenants probably want, you know, maybe they choose not to retire, but they want a hangar at 1950 rates, you know, when the last hangar was built and something like that. So we've got to also think about what's the future of aviation and how do we go forward with that to make sure that we're developing it for some of the small, you know, flyers, but also when you get a chance to visit and look at the airplanes that are coming in there, a lot of those, that big metal doesn't have homes. And we got to figure out how we take care of them.
Thank you.
Steven, we're going to turn it over to Steve and through your next slides, and so we can keep on track here and have other dialogue. Let's maybe go through these slides in without delay, and then we'll certainly have opportunity for dialogue.
Yeah, sure. Thank you for that. I know a lot of these slides were actually talked about just through organic conversation, so this should go relatively quick as well. So what we did here is just develop the next series of slides are some of the considerations and issues we initially identified just through airport review, just through the documentation, just from feedback that we received from airport staff. So the big key things, you know, hangar placement, looking at size, location, orientation, to really determine, you know, how to best use the space. You know, ultimately, just like all of these considerations and issues, there's going to be some usability considerations, some efficiencies that will need to be played into it. But then ultimately, you know, what is going to be the perceived level of service that each of these hangars will have and how to best use the space for your vision, for your needs. Next slide. So as we're reviewing the airfield layout, we saw that there were some potential opportunities to enhance the taxiway alignments to better serve the apron space and the users that are there. So looking at the orientation, the alignment to, you know, use this blank canvas to serve, you know, your vision will be key as we're going through this study. Next slide. So one of the key things, we know that the master plan kind of identified some areas where some expandability may be needed in the future to accommodate additional growth. Two of the areas that we identified was, you know, forward to south and then forward to the west. We we know towards the west that there's a wind cone with a segmented circle, but there may be the opportunity to expand in that direction simply because of the site grades. We'll talk about the site grades in the next slide here. But that the apron expansion piece, we're trying to accommodate additional tenants in that area, maybe of a higher and better land use than having the wind cone being placed there. Based on what we find and what we study, the wind cone may be in a better suited in another location on the airfield.
Stephen, if I can, so really quick, you know, we recognize the orange boundary is the current FBO lease boundary, and we know that there's discussions there to be had on how that relationship might be enhanced. And so we're showing what we know to be current, but we've heard you too say that the opportunity for an additional ramp area to accommodate larger aircraft, there's certainly space for that, as you can see in this drawing, and where that might be. And so we'll take that into consideration as well.
Great point, Kurt. And then moving on to site grade, you know, we know that there are some terrain limitations that are associated with the airport as well too. Trying to maximize, you know, the available flat land, you know, the flattest land on Tennessee, and trying to expand those portions to the fullest and the best extent that you can, and trying to limit the opportunities to, you know, bring in fill or trying to excavate additional earth may be beneficial as well. Next slide. As Kurt mentioned, you know, the FBO lease, we know that is expiring. There may be opportunities to optimize the lease boundary, you know, the facilities and, you know, the number of hangars to not only, you know, serve that particular FBO, but also to meet the long-term vision of the airport as well. And then finally, utilities as well. So through this process, we know that there's, you know, some utilities in the area, some of which may have been damaged through the tornado event itself, to, you know, working towards, you know, repairing those utilities, but then also to the potential opportunity to either expand the utilities or replace them, expanding upon to either add additional capacity or add additional service for some of your tenants and users. They provide additional benefits to provide additional levels of service for your users down the road. So some of the initial considerations and issues that were coming through this initial study. And I think with that, then I'll turn the virtual mic back over to Justin.
Thank you, Stephen. Yeah, so I'm just gonna go through, you know, the next phase, which is the scope two, that really is our deep dive into what we are going to be doing for the tornado impacted facilities. So next slide, please. There are seven tasks in this scope of the project. The first one, forecasting need. As we've talked about during this portion, there will probably be some discussions on the FBO site relative to their lease term, location in the airport, redevelopment of their facilities, et cetera. Also in that, we would be doing a survey to the tenants that have been displaced and the existing tenants on the airport, as Steve mentioned previously, that would allow us to really garner the interest and demand of what's at the airport and what type of aircraft we need to make recommendations for. Simultaneously, we would probably begin a comparable analysis. So we would work with airport staff to come up with a list of airports that are comparable to John C. Toon, that are, you know, in the same socioeconomic areas in the country and have the same socioeconomic characteristics, similar operations of runway length, tower versus non-tower, types of approaches available for aircraft and proximity to the city and business districts. So we'll be picking about 10 to 15 airports and comparing market rental rates for different facilities. In facility requirements task 3, we would evaluate that data and, you know, kind of summarize that, which would give us a foundation for what we would provide in the alternatives in task four. So task four would be, we would come up with three specific alternatives or more desired for how we envision the tornado impacted facilities area to look like in the future. Once we've narrowed down to those, you know, I'll call it three different alternatives, we would then price each one of those out, taking into consideration utilities, type of building, re-engineered metal design, et cetera. And we would also be bringing in an architect at that point to do some renderings and allow for some specific site plans for each of the different alternatives, which leads into the next task of us providing a financial analysis. So a lot of the questions today is, you know, we've talked about FEMA and insurance money. We'll want to know what these alternatives will cost in the grand scheme of things. And so our analysis would be what those buildings would cost and what type of revenue that would give back to the airport. Lastly, in task seven, to conclude, it would just be a development plan of the selected alternative.
If I can, just to add to what Justin just said, a couple of points to emphasize is one, in the market rate analysis, you know, this is not a science, it's an art form, and certainly input from the staff can be very helpful, and we're going to want to look at a comparable analysis, and that's going to be the foundation as we do the financial analysis in the future. We also are very sensitive to the fact that we know that, you know, we're talking about new construction, the cost of new construction, versus hangars that might be several years old and what they were renting for. And we understand the tenant sensitivity to that. And so we'll be certainly working with staff and the stakeholders at the same time, realizing again that the FEMA money provides you a base of revenue, that there's going to be discussions that ultimately the pricing of these hangars are such that they're sustainable for which direction you choose to go, whether it be through the airport or through private development. But ultimately, we want your end user to have a good experience. So we have to evaluate all those considerations. So we want you to know we recognize that.
Next slide, please. Thanks, Kurt.
I mean, Kurt, yes, Jimmy, real quick. It's a really interesting observation in tune that all the new construction was not destroyed and all the old construction was destroyed. Is that taken into consideration when one gets insurance on their airplane to have a more modern hangar?
I think when you look at the nuances of the features of the building, you know, electrical fire suppression, and maybe there's some other things that an insurance underwriter might look like that provides some additional protection for the user. Certainly the uses within that building, storage versus commercial operations, is going to be something you know, that would drive cost and what type of amenities that we're building in there. But it is an interesting observation that you say it, since those buildings that were there were probably several years old and were not to the same code of the newer buildings that you built that were able to withstand the event.
And the other question that we talk about the future, and I'm sure we'll get into this, we have all this potential developable land, especially on the west side. In y'all's observation and experience in other cities, are there other uses besides just 100% airplane maintenance that sometimes go on airport properties proper?
Well, that's a longer discussion, but I'll say it this way, is that, you know, the FAA is going to look at the airport and want to certainly see that there's aeronautical uses and not non-aeronautical uses. And while some airports that have low demand and vacant facilities, the FAA has supported non-aeronautical occupancies on very short-term basis in order to develop cash flow. The primary goal here will be for the airport, in order to meet its FAA obligations, is for aeronautical uses. Within that, if there's an airplane in the hangar with a motorcycle, is that going to be a conflict? There's just some gray areas, but I think as we look at our design, we're going to be looking at maximizing the land for aeronautical best and highest use and diversity of aeronautical uses at John C. Fitz.
I was really referring to, and it's not a really fair comparison, but I smaller aircraft to, like a lab, you know, like, you know, I know John C. Toon gets a lot of traffic daily with a lot of labs that are moving their tests back and forth through Gonzales.
I think that will be certainly something in the surveys as we're talking to the stakeholders and the feedback we get and the type of aircraft and the type of uses that they have and the, they will help us design and give you recommendations on the hangar and ramp specifications that would support that. So I think certainly something we want to, don't want to eliminate.
Okay, thank you.
So the schedule, Justin, is this something you were going through here?
Yeah, sure. So today you see we're at the youth workshop with you all. Our plan moving forward is to do task 1, 2, and 3 kind of all together simultaneously at the same time, which will provide the foundation for task 4 and the development alternatives that we've come up with. At that point, we would want to come back to you with the alternatives we come up with and with the staff to review those with you. And then go from there, you know, to future tasks from that point. But we want to make sure that we're getting updates and info from you all along the way. So this is a very, you know, tentative schedule. We've estimated the number of weeks that we anticipated taking. And again, I just want to echo that we'll be certainly wanting your input along the way. So next slide, please. So the site visits, of course, we, COVID has, we'd love to be there in person today, but given what's going on in the country, we weren't able to do that this time. But we do plan on, you know, probably coming up there within the next 30 to 45 days because we don't want to make any recommendations to you all without having seen eyes on the ground. So I do appreciate the flattest ground intensity comments. So we certainly want to make sure we have eyes on that ourselves. And at that time we're there on the initial visit, we would probably take the opportunity to meet with airport staff to review what we do have going on now. And then towards the end of scope 2, we will come back to you and present the alternatives that we come up with to this committee and review those with you and get input before we finalize a preferred alternative.
Steve, could I interrupt just a minute?
Sure.
Hello, this is Amanda Farnsworth, and I wanted to just say we have a wonderfully talented staff. Some of the people are newer. We also have 5 of our commissioners are pilots, and I think you know that. And we are very willing to also be in on some of these staff meetings or provide input. There's a lot of history with these 5 pilots at John Toon, and I think we could be very helpful where some of the staff doesn't have necessarily have the history. But working as a team, I think we're going to do a great job here. So that's what I wanted to say.
Thank you for that. We appreciate that and we look forward to your input along the way. So the last part for me is, you know, we talked about the other areas outside the tornado, the initial tornado impacted area that we want to look at in scope 4. With scope 2 being the, you know, the first priority to get that portion done first. Scope 4 is very similar. We would be creating some alternatives. A lot of the, you know, the market survey and those things have already been done in scope 2, so we don't need to do that again. So having that foundational and background information to take into scope 4 would be very helpful. But, you know, a similar process, we can open some alternatives, review those with them all, and then move on to preparing some process notes. The timeline for now is that we're going to focus on scope 2 and we'll determine the timeline for scope 4 after we take care of the priority area. Similar with site visits, we think, we do believe that there's a way to combine site visits so that when we come out to present the final alternative that is agreed upon by everybody, that we can do the kickoff for the future scope in the same visit. And the deliverables for that one would be a base drawing with 3 development alternatives, and then, of course, the site plan diagrams that go along with all of those, the cost estimates, and finally, the financial analysis for those 3 alternatives. I do think the one point that is different in this one is I don't think we'll be giving a recommendation on a preferred alternative. I think we're going to leave it as three development alternatives at that point. As we have discussed with you all today, that it will provide you guys some options for how you would tackle those future areas.
Justin, I would just add to this that on the FBO parcel that exists today, we know that as part of our current vision, what we're looking at is that those destroyed buildings in the FBO portion need some input on what the potential design should be for those repairs that would be done. And so we were going to be looking at the size of those hangars, the types of doors, and again, looking at what's the best fit, including the location. And so there will be a little bit of overlap, I think, in that review now and then as it relates to scope four and the future. So we're going to be taking those considerations for the future needs too in the current review of the FBO parcel. And, Commissioner Farnsworth, thank you for your input. It's as an aircraft owner myself and operator, I like to look at the work that we do from that perspective, as Stephen and Justin have mentioned, and like to see it from the eyes of both the operator and as a tenant. And having sat on the table on both sides of the discussion with airports, I think that will be very helpful to have your input, the other commissioners, and your users as well.
Thank you, Kurt. I also think, and I said five pilots, we actually have five and then one who is in training, so I shouldn't leave anybody out of the group. But we are.
We're not putting Doug on the pilot. He's not a current pilot.
No.
I don't know how to get it. He's scared.
So he doesn't count. I got it.
Former.
So anyway, and the other piece of that is we also have, for example, Bobby Jocelyn is out there 24/7 teaching. So we have representation, everything from jets and from big hardware all the way to Cessna 172. So we've got a broad range of there. As well as money, but we can help you. We're happy to move on to the side and happy to help where you need it.
Thank you so much for that. You know, I think the sign of a healthy airport is a diverse airport, and certainly when we get into this, there's the financial sustainability, but there's also the future of this airport for the community outside the fence. And when you talk about diversity from small to big aircraft, there's going to be a reception from the community outside the fence that I think is going to appreciate that too. And
hey,
so,
Kurt, this Chief Gump, Amanda, don't leave out the fact that TDOT and the entire state aeronautical division is now on site, and all the state airplanes are on campus at John Toon. So the entire yellow picture, the yellow hanger at the top of the page, the entire state aeronautical division that handle all 95 counties. House here on site.
Exactly. That's a very good point. Thank you, Jimmy.
Good point to know. Thank you. This is the picture you see is kind of our starting point that we started with here and that initiated the discussion here today that we're going to be looking at. And so this is kind of the form you're going to see this morph as we come up with all alternatives. But from that, from here, our presentation today is now shifting to just any open discussion or questions or thoughts from staff and the committee here.
A possibility I've suggested maybe that moving the AWOS to the other side of the field, to the west side. I have no idea whether that's cost prohibitive, but that, look at how much room it takes up. That's some valuable land sitting there that's going to be sitting there the duration. And again, I think all that's what we're talking earlier. Chair Freeman mentioned everything is on the table. We've got some of this land availability lease that we put out a while back. I think we had a great response. So those people would actually, if we called them today and said, we're going with you guys, we're ready to sign a lease, they'll be ready to go get building permits Monday morning. We have that many people with corporate aircraft foaming at the mouth to get back in business here at John Deere. And again, the other thing is very important, y'all did hit on it, I think everybody hit on it. This is important to the whole Middle Tennessee. And this is going to be hopefully the showplace for the whole state of Tennessee for general aviation for years to come. And I know we're talking about money. I'm thinking, let's look at the Rolls Royce, and then we can always take the stereo out, take the electric seats out. I mean, you know, whittle down on it. So, you know, this is the time right here that we've got to get this show on the road and get it right. Again, at AWOS, that's just for whatever it's worth. Maybe worthwhile moving the thing. How much is it going to cost, Robert?
A lot. It is probably, I think the previous time we looked at it, it's probably north of 500 to a million.
But the income we can generate from those sites, that site, that whole block of land
yes,
there,
sir.
You'll get your money back probably in 18
well,
months.
Well, certainly, everything's on the table.
Yeah.
Clearly, everything's on the table.
Everything's on the table, Robert.
Everything's on the table. We do have an ILS. We have an ILS and some of those things to look at with the critical area, I think, is the tougher part, more so than a money issue on the AWOS. But Jeff and his team's already got a jump start on looking at that. But we'll certainly.
They're going out anyway.
We got that.
Get rid of it.
Well, it's not out. FAA won't let me do it just yet. But we'll certainly take a look at it.
If I may, and I think when Steve was talking earlier, he was talking about the terrain grade limitations. Certainly, you know, bringing in fill isn't an obstacle we can't overcome. I think one of the other things that wasn't specifically mentioned is part of our review will be the airspace review of the Part 77 imaginary surfaces that you don't see on a picture like this that will dictate building heights and locations and setbacks and the protections for their approach and departure surfaces. And so we'll certainly be evaluating that so that we're consistent with FAA design requirements. So I think that there's lots of opportunity here to, within the boundaries, certainly maximize the land that you have available and reconfigure it to make it more functional for what you think the vision is in the future. As we were talking about the FBO, and as you look at this map in front of you and you see the potential of how the FBO maybe could be relocated and things like that.
Yeah, Kurt, this
is... Yeah, this is Christy. I just wanted to also state, as a non-pilot, and probably one on the financial piece, I'd also like to have a reasonable understanding, not only of the cost and structure, but also the revenue opportunity. So as we consider doing, you know, A, B, or C, what does that potential revenue look like for that space? Because at some point, we do have to make sure that the revenue supports itself and also that we can pay for it. So just make sure that that's part of the discussion, as well as obviously the opportunity.
Commissioner Smith, thank you for that. And there's always room for you to take pilot flying lessons. I look forward to seeing that out for you.
You want to talk to me?
She's a paying tenant. I can't afford to have her
Relative to your comment about the financial piece, where I think we can help you in what we do that's somewhat unique is we've helped airports before look at what it would take to attract third-party investment. So when you look at an alternative and a design and you come up with a cost model, and then you look at those comparable rents that we mentioned and you plug those in for the revenue side and you run an investment model for, let's say, a 30-year term, what's the IRR and the ROI on that for the developer? And often we've had airports and airport sponsors say, well, why would we need you to do that? Because we'll just have the RFP do that. And I think our involvement here, we'll be able to study those with your staff and to look at those models to see if what the return would be for both yourself and as you're looking at third-party investment, what those return options might look like so that you are better prepared to negotiate with your tenant and or potential tenant. And so I think you'll see in our alternatives, that's what our plan would be, is to show you what those returns would be. And in some cases, to get the T-hangers, maybe you're not looking for a rate of return. Maybe you want to make sure your rates and fees for your end users on the smaller GA side are more revenue neutral for yourself. Those are all just discussion points to have, because what you'd want to avoid, obviously, is having tenants that are concerned about new construction feeling like they're being priced out of the marketplace as you evolve the airport into the future.
Thank you.
Kurt, this is Doug. As we try to go to wrap this, you know, discussion up, you know, there, if we have more, and looking at the drawing that you see on the screen there, I think the commissioners and the staff members, you know, locked in on your comment about reconfiguring. So while we're doing this, you know, we want to figure out what's the right way to reconfigure, whether it's the T hangars or the corporate hangars that the FBO has to rebuild, and that's that area in the blue. And if it makes sense where those three hangars are that were in the blue that were destroyed, and then around where you see the asphalt with the dotted yellow, you know, for where the FBO's sitting, if it's smart to plan to have future hangars there instead of the FBO, where does the FBO make the best logical sense to move it to maximize? Because we're only 7 years from a new FBO agreement, or we negotiate our way out, you know, as we're into this partial. But what the staff is looking at now, as we talk about it today, is where the blue dot is, we're going to be in construction here pretty soon on a control tower. The board's already approved that. Well, the biggest fear I have from the CEO is the insurance and the due dispatch of moving forward so that I maximize the business interruption insurance that I collect. But we start figuring out what we're going to do with that center blue section of what corporate has to be built back, what do we build back, and then what areas, like we said, if we move the windsock, you know, in the circle, segmented circle, do we move the AWOS? Do we use that east side for development? You know, we have people that are ready to go down there on the very southern portion in that elbow that, you know, but we need your idea as you start looking at this. What are the big picture reconfigures that maybe when you come back in a few weeks and we meet with the commissioners again, do we make some sort of decisions? Are we ready to at least start putting stuff in categories? And then when you come back a few months, you know, a few weeks after that, you know, where do we move forward? So I think the chair's been really clear and the commissioners have been clear. It's an open slate. We're trying to reconfigure TUNE for the future. And we really look forward to having Aeroplex work with Jeff and John to figure out what we do as we go forward. So I wanted to thank you, but to lock into some of the words you use.
Thank you for that, Doug. I think we understand that and take that opportunity on with open arms. I think your FBO site there does need an evaluation, because my initial thought of it, without having seen the actual door size, is it's not going to meet the needs of what you want to look forward to for this airport. And when you think about new aircraft coming into the market, they are larger. The larger Gulfstream size aircraft, and you want to be able to accommodate them, which means you got to look at the taxiways, you got to look at the ramp area. What we don't want to do is over put too much building on there for big airplanes and then not have the ramp space to accommodate them. And so there are all those little variances that we're going to be looking at on this lower right hand corner as we look at the blue area and where those replacement buildings might go, but with the notion of how do you maximize the land for the other types of larger general aviation users is going to be what we're going to come back to you with.
I think that's on target. I don't know if any other commissioners or the chairman has any questions or comments.
The only thought I'm having as we're having this discussion is we don't need to feel pressed to do any of these leases or approve any of this stuff right now. We're going to know so much more. We're going to know a ton more in 15 weeks when they're through. And we're going to know a lot more as our thought process evolves. And we may decide some of these leases that we could do right now, but that would encumber that those sites for decades to come, we may have a different view of it in 3, 4, 5 months. So I don't want us to feel too much pressure to do anything today.
No, and I think that just from the staff side of the house, here and having the engagement with Aeroplex and the commissioners in this discussion helps us.
Yeah.
Because, you know, prior to the tornado, we were all, let's go. And we were ready to go. We're this close to moving forward. And so now we're the staff is supportive of what we're doing. You know, let's pause, let's get some feedback from Aeroplex, get their thoughts on how to reconfigure tune, and then we'll move out again on that. So we hear it loud and clear.
Absolutely. As you look at the reconfiguring, what they ultimately looks like, and you see what the costs are, that's going to help you make decisions on whether you want to make that investment as the airport, or do you want it to be private? And then do you have the, you know, how does it link to the major airport so that there's synergy there where it complements the other airport at the same time? It's not, especially given the COVID impacts, that you're not taking away potential revenue streams and where private sector money might make sense for you. And so those are just considerations that will come as we look at that, those alternatives.
Okay. Kirk, what about the federal money relative to small feeder airports like to BNA?
So I think, you know, federal money, from my experience, when it comes to like FBO or private T hangar development, is it's gotten harder to obtain those AIP funds. It's certainly gotten harder where the FAA is looking to like eliminate pavement because they don't want to pay for it. And so, you know, that you might have some opportunities maybe in the state and on the regional basis where there might be grants and other things that might be available to the authority. But AIP funding right now, I think just because of the last several weeks and the impacts relative to the discussions in Washington, I think it's going to be more of a challenge than it was a few months ago.
What about relative to, like, Mr. Johnson was talking about moving the AWOS and not necessarily T hangar or asphalt, things that are relative to the operation of the airport that make it a better airport for larger development?
I'm going to address Steve. Do you have a thought on that as far as like in a SIF or something where maybe you could put it into the programming?
Yeah, well, what immediately came to mind is that the FAA will participate in the relocation of a facility to the extent that an FAA-approved project requires its relocation. So, you know, if you decide that this is an area where you want to develop hangars and taxiways and the FAA might participate in funding the taxiways, then they might participate in the relocation of the AWOS. But the reality is they have such many more higher priority projects and demands competing for the limited money that this may become just a very low priority to them and they would decline to participate in funding.
And a bigger challenge too is, you know, one, it takes time. You know, you can always ask for that kind of stuff, but, you know, you may want to develop faster and then be faster for you to go out and make that investment.
Exactly.
We'll have to weigh that decision because you could wait on Uncle Sam to give you money and be waiting 20 years from now, and that would stall what you want to do with it.
Between the tower and the AWOS, we've done ate up a third of that whole development side there for revenue coming in for the next 50 years. So I think $500,000, $600,000 is a small price to pay to return. Quit being you're the face of Dr. No, okay?
No! We can,
you're getting look, worse at this job. I'm sorry, man.
If you write the check, I can move it.
Well, all right.
I think that's all we have. Kurt, do you have any last minute things or good to go?
I have one more thing.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
So the other thing that we have talked about too is, and I know it's not today, but in the future, we probably want to think about a second FBO. If you're talking about bringing Gulfstreams in there and all that,
first FBO and a second FBO, and since all things are on the table, and you might, even whether or not the airport wants to be the exclusive FBO provider and operate it themselves, which has its own challenges, but that could be on the table. But certainly as we look at land planning, we want to think about the location for where the second FBO would be so that you can provide for that competitive environment as the demand dictates.
That's the biggest thing.
Thank you.
If you build a new FBO.
Thank you, Amanda. Is there anything else that needs to come before the committee?
I don't believe so. Anybody else?
Okay, guys, thank you all. We'll stay adjourned.